You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. This is a New Year's Day edition, or I guess the day after New Year's. This is episode 27, Monday, the 2nd of January. So, Happy New Year's, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the show. My name is Andy, and I hope you all are doing well, and thank you for joining us. I am joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick? Happy New Year's.
Doing great. Happy New Year.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show, and if this is your first time, welcome. Ute Talk Podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this once a week for your enjoyment, so listen in. And then also please add us to your RSS feed, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and then follow us on Twitter, at Ute Talk Podcast. So let's get into it. Quite a bit. It's been about two weeks since our last show, Patrick?
Yeah, I think so.
So a lot of news that has happened the last couple of days here for us Ute fans. And first off, we're going to get into is Marcus Williams, the junior safety for Utah, declares for the NFL draft. What are your thoughts on that, Patrick? You like it? You don't like it? I mean, I'm sure you don't like it as a fan. you do like it because he's a very good player, rated, I believe, the top in the country.
Right.
So you got to do what's best for you.
Right, yeah, I don't, as a Ute fan, I don't like it, because I wanted one more year of him, but as a fan of Marcus, I'm definitely happy for him. He's definitely earned it. He's one of the top safeties in the country, if not the top safety, and, you know, he's going to make some good money at the next level, and I believe he'll get drafted pretty high just because of his sheer athleticism, and, you know, when you're presented with that opportunity and, you know, your draft grade comes back good, you know, you got to take that next step, because you never know next season, who knows, you could get injured or whatnot. You got to, you know, go out and get that money while you can.
Absolutely. And Marcus has been a stand-up guy for the University of Utah football team. He's a pleasure to be around. He's loved by the coaches, loved by the fans, and loved by his teammates, and definitely wish him all the best. He played in the Foster Farms Bowl with a lot of other well-known players opting out of their bowl games. He chose to play. But he posted on Twitter this morning, "After much consideration about my future with my family, I decided to forgo my senior season at the University of Utah and enter the 2017 draft. I would like to thank my coaches, especially Coach Morgan Scally, Sharif Shah, who took me in and constantly helped me improve as a man and an athlete. They've always lived by their word and made me a part of their family. I would also like to thank the equipment staff, trainers, teammates, and of course the amazing fans for a great 3 years of my life. This program has developed me from a boy into a man. It has taught me how to sacrifice to get where I want to be. It has shown me how to face adversity no matter how bad it may be. It has shown me how to respect the process and never give up on anything I start, no matter how difficult the task. I am forever grateful to be a Ute, and I will forever live by the saying, 'United together, eternal soldiers. Go Utes.'" And that's what he posted. I mean, that's quite the statement, you know, from a college athlete coming out. You know, I first read that and I was just like, wow, you know, this guy, great player, but even a better person, you know, and just being able to talk to him on the sidelines, you know, at the practices and whatnot, he's just a pleasure to talk with and be around.
Yeah, just a class act, and, you know, he's really grown up in the Utes program. He came, you know, onto the Utes as kind of a raw, you know, project for him there back at safety, and he started, you know, since he got here, he's been making plays and, you know, just turned into another great, safety. The Utes continue to pump out great safeties and put them in the NFL. So, you know, it's, you know, shout out to all the safeties out there. If you want to get to the NFL, you know where to come.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, his statistics. So 2014 is first year. He had one interception, a lot of tackles. He was averaging about 6-7 a game. 2015, let's see here. He had 5 interceptions for 2015. And again, you know, 7 to 8 tackles a game. A lot of the assisted tackles. And then this year for 2016, he had another 5 interceptions, including one in the bowl game. And he's just a great athlete. He's very smart. He very quick. He can get to the ball when he needs to. And, you know, as a fan of him and the Utes, I want him to stay, but yeah, he's gone. He's doing the best for himself and his family, and wish him the best of luck, and hopefully he doesn't go to the Browns.
Yeah, whoever drafts him is going to get an athletic safety who's long and rangy and can cover, you know, from side to side and make big plays. So whoever gets him is going to be happy with that they drafted him, because he's going to be a good player.
Absolutely. Well, moving on in the show here, rest of our news, and this, some of it took us by surprise. Maybe it didn't. It took me a little bit by surprise. Dennis Erickson retires, and Aaron Roderick not reinstated. Dennis Erickson, I expected that to come at some point. I was hoping at least another year out of him to continue to keep that Florida pipeline going. Roderick, I'm a little more shocked about. You know, Whittingham has been quick to pull the trigger with offensive coordinators as of late, as we've seen the last 10 years. But I didn't think he would be that quick with Roderick, somebody who's been in the program for several years. You know, he got 2 years at the helm as an OC. But Roderick is no longer with us. And what are your thoughts on those two coaches there?
I'm sad to see Dennis Erickson go, but I, you know, kind of expected it. I was maybe, like you said, I was kind of expecting maybe one more year out of him. But, you know, he's definitely done his time in football and deserves to retire. And he's done some great things over the past 4 years for the Utes in regards to recruiting and, you know, developing talent. He opened up that Florida pipeline. Hopefully they have made good connections where they can continue to, you know, get into that and bring those guys over here to play at the U. But just a great coach. So sad to see him go. Definitely going to hurt recruiting wise, I think. And, you know, maybe some player development wise, but I think he left a good mark on the U while he was here, and they'll continue to build off of that. Aaron Roderick. Yeah. Like you said, I was surprised at that as well. I thought, you know, he's been with the Utes for so long. I thought they'd, you know, maybe give him one more year. I wanted him to give him one more year as well.
Sure.
Just for the consistency factor. But, you know, it's just something that happened. And, you know, it's Whittingham pulled the trigger on it and let him go. And, you know, I think that, you know, Roderick's a great coach, great guy. I don't think he was the right guy to coach quarterbacks or maybe run the offense, but, you know, he did a good job when he was a receiver coach, and he was also, you know, a good recruiter as well. But, yeah, it was interesting to see how quick it happened, and then it was also interesting to see how quickly they hired someone as well.
Yeah, and that takes us into our next news. So the Utes hire former Eastern Washington University offensive coordinator Troy Taylor. And, you know, like Patrick just said, you know, how quickly after the bowl game, you know, some of these coaching changes happened, and then how quickly, you know, we hired somebody. You know, I mean, the bowl game was Wednesday night, And here we are Monday, and we have a new offensive coordinator.
And there was, I mean, there was recruits tweeting out stuff earlier than that. So
yeah,
it's like, you know, did they already know or
yeah.
or whatnot?
But. Yeah. And yeah, there are a few recruits that are extremely excited about the potential. I saw, let's see, I believe McClellan had stated that the Ute offense is about to blow up here. Paraphrasing, keep in mind there. Jack Tuttle, who is the 2018 quarterback recruit that verbally committed a couple weeks ago, he, you know, liked and retweeted the whole the hire there, and so a lot of people are excited about the addition of Troy Taylor. For those of you that don't really know Troy, Patrick, do you got some insight on that at all?
Troy Taylor, he was a great quarterback for Cal back in, you know, the late 80s. So held some records at Cal that Jared Goff actually broke.
Yeah, that's right.
Last season. But good college quarterback. Played a little bit in the NFL, didn't have too long of a career there, but played a few years, I think 2-3 years. And then you know, since 2000 he coached, from 2000 to 2015 he coached at Folsom High, developing some good quarterbacks. He was Jake Browning's coach, Washington's quarterback.
And I believe Browning set a lot of high school records those years too.
Yeah, so he coached Browning since like fifth grade until he was a senior in high school, and Browning set, you know, all kinds of records when he was a senior in high school. So, and then last season, of course, he was with Eastern Washington. So, and their offense, you know, their quarterback had a great season. I think he had over like 5,000 yards and 40 something touchdowns, but
they averaged over 400 passing yards, if I'm mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, a good offensive mind to bring in, but one of the main things that's great about this hire is he's someone who can come in and mentor the quarterbacks and develop them, because, you know, if you watched Troy Williams this season, he didn't, you know, he continually digressed throughout the season. The progression wasn't there. Same with Travis Wilson. So quarterback progression has been a problem at the U because they haven't had a quarterback coach since Brian Johnson left. And now they bring someone in like this who has, you know, the history of developing quarterbacks into good players. And I think it's going to definitely benefit the Utes big time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Eastern Washington went 12-2 in the Big Sky. Their home opener was against Washington State, which Washington State ended up having a really good year. So Eastern Washington, I mean, it's kind of an interesting hire that it happened so quickly. But they put up a lot of points. Let me see if I can get it here. Oh, according to ESPN, there are no statistics on it. They're that good. There's no statistics. But looking at like their schedule, so 45, 44 points, 34, 50, 63, 49, 41, 35, 42. So, I mean, they averaged about 40-plus points a game, you know, probably closer to 45 points a game. They ended up losing to Youngstown State in the semifinal, 40-38. But again, 38 points put up right there. And so they're not shy at all of moving the ball up and down the field and scoring points.
Yeah, and I mean, the Utes need that. Even in the Foster Farms Bowl, they still had those struggles in the red zone and continue to struggle in the red zone throughout the whole season. And they need someone who can come in there and give them the creative juice that they need to get it, punch it in. And, you know, I think this is a good hire, and I think he'll be able to do that. And, you know, he's big on the pass game. I think he said he's going to pass about, you know, 60-40 is what he likes it. Whittingham likes it 50-50, but this guy likes it 60-40. for the pass. And but I think if they can come in and develop a potent passing game, which, you know, other defenses have to respect, then that's only going to benefit the run game and make that even stronger than it already is.
Absolutely. Now, question for you, or we can discuss this here. So a lot of people have criticized Whittingham, you know, keeping a leash on the offense, not turning the ball over, you know, not scoring too fast, you know, to give the defense, Whittingham's baby, a break. And I agree with that to a point. If your offense is three and out every series, you're doing the exact same thing. Am I wrong?
No.
So, yeah, you might have a fast offense that moves up and down the field quicker, but if you're just going out there and running three plays, no yards gained, then you're literally doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you've seen that from, I mean, the Utes the past, you know, how many years, how every spring they're going to have this fast, aggressive, high-octane, yeah, high-paced offense, and then it just never
materializes.
Comes to fruition. Yeah, yeah. Never happens. So I'm interested to see if, you know, I'm excited for spring to see kind of what this guy's going to bring to the table and what he's all about. And if, you know, he's going to be allowed to, you know, do his thing and run his offense and, you know, take some chances, because, you know, you've got to take some chances. You know, you're going to throw an interception or a fumble here and there. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen, but you got to take some chances. Even in the Foster Farms Bowl on that last drive, you know, they needed a score to win, and they just pretty much ran a field goal offense.
Yeah.
And you're putting it on, you know, Andy Phillips' leg to make that. And I just don't, you know, they need to take some more chances. And so I'm excited to see what this guy brings to the table. And if, you know, this finally we get to see this, you know, spread attack or this high-paced, fast-paced offense, you know, finally come to the Utes and see what they can do.
Absolutely. I would, yeah, I for one, am very excited. It's a new name into the University of Utah coaching tree, you know, and he's done really well with developing players and creating offenses that adapt to those players. You know, he states in the interview that he did. Let's see here. So we've been able to find that balance in the past. First, you have a system. You have to have a system that you believe in. Then you find out what each of your players do well. Then adjust it to utilize their strengths. You've got to be able to develop the players as well as continue to adapt. And that was his response to one of the ESPN 700 questions. And, you know, that right there is exciting to me, because I feel like he is able to work with both pocket passers or drop back QBs and the dual threats. And he's going to be able to tailor a system as needed, even if it's, you know, in-game changes, to make the offense work for that player. So whether it's Troy Williams, who would rather drop back and pass, or Huntley, who is that dual threat, you know, there's a lot of potential there with this offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I like how he, you know, says he's going to, you know, make the offense and, you know, develop the players to their strengths.
Exactly.
I think that's one of the things that's hampered the Utes over the past few seasons, is they have these talented players, but they don't utilize them to their strengths.
I mean,
you look at Corey Butler-Bird, and I know he had his struggles outside of football, and I don't know what happened to him. You know, I know they said he's injured, but he didn't show up for the Foster Farms Bowl, but he's someone I look at where they could have utilized him in so many more ways than they actually did. I mean, Kenneth Scott last year, even Tim Patrick this season, they really didn't, you know, after the first few games, they just kind of...
It's about four games, he just kind of disappeared.
Disappeared. I know he had injuries, but they really didn't utilize him, you know, down the stretch at all. And, you know, if, you know, it just... Changes needed to happen, You know, you think about it, if Joe Williams didn't come back, and, you know, maybe Armand Shine had, you know, continued to have a good season, but he got injured. But if Joe Williams wouldn't have came back, you know, who knows what, if the Utes would have even won another game.
Half those games, yeah.
So changes needed to happen. It's good to see an outside guy coming in, and it's going to be interesting to see and exciting to see what he brings to the table, and, you know, see if he can develop all these talented players and all these talented recruits that the Utes have been getting the past few years.
Yeah, we've got a lot of potential in the system, and a lot of good incoming players that hopefully Troy Taylor can maximize to their full potential. And Patrick Tufts based on that, you know, he develops the players to utilize their strengths. You know, yeah, you might have a receiver that doesn't catch the ball as well as others, but this receiver might be extremely quick and shifty in the open field. So why not get him, you know, some fly sweeps and, you know, things like that to get that player involved and make those big plays. And, you know, I think that Taylor will pull up all the stops to make something like that happen. So moving on, unless you have anything else to add on Troy Taylor, Patrick.
No, it's good. I'm just excited to see what he can do. And I'm also excited to see what kind of recruiter he is. I know he has a lot of respect in California area. So hopefully he'll be able to bring some good recruits from, you know, the West out to the Utes. And, you know, hopefully help fill a void that Erickson's definitely going to leave with his retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, who's it? Before we move on, then, have you heard any rumors for a potential running backs coach?
The only name that I've seen is former Utes running back who coaches at Weber State now, Quinton Ganther, and he coaches running backs at Weber State. I think he was a graduate assistant on the Utes a couple seasons ago, but He'd be a good pickup. I don't know how much money the Utes have left over if, you know, they used up quite a bit to bring Troy Taylor on. But Quinton Ganther is a good coach, and he's someone who he has a lot of playing experience. He made it to the NFL, played there for a few seasons, and, you know, I think he'd be a good coach and a good mentor for, you know, guys at the running back position. So that's the only name I've heard so far, but.
All right, we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled and open. So moving on then, we're going to preview recap a couple of the Running Utes basketball games this past couple weeks. So over Christmas, they played in the Diamond Head Classic, which consisted of 8 teams. Utah's first game was paired up against San Francisco, University of San Francisco. Utah ended up losing the game 89-86. Kind of a heartbreaker. You and I sat here before that game was played, and we both felt pretty comfortable that Utah would win the tournament, that San Francisco would probably be their toughest challenge. But felt that we could handle it. Kyle Kuzma ended up going down within the first minute, rolled his ankle, sat out the rest of the two games. I feel that he probably could have came back that game. They didn't want to risk further injury, and so they held him out the whole tournament so that he was ready for Pac-12 play, which started yesterday, January 1st. So, again, San Francisco wins 89-86. Utah gets a big game from Cedric Bearfield, who absolutely lit up the nets. He went 11 of 15, 8 of 9 for free throws. Just played a phenomenal game. He had a three-pointer that seemed like it was from Waikiki. It was far back there. excuse me. He went. Where did he go? Let's see. There we go. Yeah, he went 5 of 7 from threes. So he ended with 35 points, 1 rebound, 0 assists. He had 5 turnovers, which is a big issue there. Collette ended the game with 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. He did foul out of the game. But besides those two, I mean, there wasn't, we didn't have much production from anything else, anywhere else. Bonham had 10 points, Daniels had 11, but nobody else kind of pulled it forward, and they just kind of lacked the energy. You know, I felt like they were just going through the motions that game. They dug themselves right after halftime. I believe it was a 18-point deficit, and then that's when Barefield started going off, which was good to see him take control.
Yeah, it was just a weird game. It's like when Kuzma went out, it's like all the energy or whatnot went with him. So the Utes struggled. Of course, Barefield, he played out of his mind, and you know, he continues to be good, be a great player, great addition to the Utes off the bench. And you know, but I think losing Kuzma that early, and then of course him not playing in the rest of the tournament, you know, I think if he could have played and stayed healthy, I think the Utes definitely would have won that tournament. But you know, that's just kind of the breaks, and losing him was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, and the Utes couldn't quite get over the hump without him.
Yeah. So San Francisco shot 57% from three. Utah really struggled to defend the perimeter. They've done a little better in you know, recent games, but not a whole lot. San Francisco really took it to us that game. But moving on with that, San Francisco ended up going to the championship game. They lost to San Diego State. It would have been nice had San Francisco won that game, because then it would have boosted Utah's RPI a little bit. So Utah, because they lost, ended up playing Hawaii, which was the hosting school. And Utah wins that one 66-52. You know, Utah, again, not shooting a very good percentage from three-pointers. A lot of it was coming off of free throws and just little field goals. You had Collette leading the game with 17, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks. He really applied himself after kind of having a downer game against San Francisco as far as rebounds go. He really was getting involved. Bonham stepped up in this one off the bench. So Bonham came off the bench, which was kind of weird to see, but he had 11 points, 2 assists, and 9 rebounds. So again, really applying himself to the board, the glass there. Utah goes on to win that one, 66-52. No problems there. I didn't expect Hawaii to really give us much of an issue. So Utah moves on to the third place game versus the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks. And Utah wins that one 74-66. Again, Utah not shooting a very good percentage from the three, 35%. Stephen F. Austin shot 50. We really need to cut that down quite a bit. But Utah did shoot overall pretty well, 58%. A lot of guys caught fire in that one. Collette, again, 17 points, 1 block, 2 steals, 2 assists, 3 rebounds. JoJo Zamora, 16 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Devin Daniels, 16 points, 2 steals, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Really, a really good complete game there by Devin Daniels. And then Bonham, again, off the bench, 12 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 rebounds. So, Barefield, in the two games that Barefield started, didn't do very well. Barefield came off the bench in the San Francisco game and played really well. So take it for what it's worth. But what are your thoughts, Patrick, as far as that tournament goes? What did you like? What didn't you like? You know, as this team is starting to come together and gel, you know, we're getting the healthy pieces back. Collette and Barefield are getting involved. You know, the Colorado game was their, fourth game together now, or fifth game for Colorado. Yeah, so 5 games in, with pretty much your complete team. What are your thoughts?
The tournament, I'll be honest, after they lost in the way they played against San Francisco, I just kind of lost a lot of interest in it. But, I watched bits and pieces of the Hawaii game. I didn't really watch the Stephen at Boston game just because it was on Christmas Day. But, I think Collette's come in and he's given them, an inside presence on the offensive end as well as the defensive end, and kind of given them some toughness in the middle there. Bearfield, I think maybe bringing him off the bench is a better idea than starting him, especially after, the way he played those two games he did start.
Yeah.
Bonham definitely needs a start. He did play pretty decent off the bench in the two games that he came off the bench. But I'm impressed with Devin Daniels. He continues to, play pretty well. JoJo Zamora. The Colorado game was, surprising. I didn't expect them to play as well as they did against Colorado. And, they really came together as a team against Colorado and were able to get that victory. So I'm excited to see what this team can do once Kuzma gets 100% healthy and as they get more and more into conference play. Just kind of see what they, continue to come together and gel and, see what they can do in the Pac-12.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on into that, so the Diamond Head Classic again, Utah takes third place in that with that first devastating loss to San Francisco. Next two games, they played really well, kind of woke them up a little bit. But the Pac-12 play opened on January 1st, and it was a doozy. The Utes come out halftime and absolutely just pour it on Colorado. Utah wins 76-60, and there are quite a few highlight plays from some great assists from midcourt for alley-oop dunks and just great moves and big blocks. So quite the complete game, like you said. Looking at the box score, we held Colorado to 33% three-point shooting, 40% overall, while Utah shot 37 from three, 52% overall. So a lot better.
And a lot of guys in double digits scoring, yeah. which I like to see because they really don't have that go-to score.
Yep.
I think Kuzma could be that, but he just hasn't been proven it against tougher play.
Just inconsistent with it. Yeah.
But I do like seeing, four or five guys in double-digit scoring, and then, Bearfield off the bench.
Yeah.
He had 9 points and 8 assists, so
yeah,
that's not bad either. But I do like the double-digit scoring from the all, a bunch of guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, Collette 14, Kuzma 14, Zamora 10, Bonham 15. So those are your double-digit getters, and then Bearfield with 9. After that, you had Daniels with 6. So a lot of equality there as far as scoring goes, which you like to see. Rebounds, Collette with 9, Kuzma with 6, Daniels with 4, Bearfield with 4 as well. Assist, Bearfield was your leading assist getter with 8. And then we only had 3 blocks, Rawson with 2 and 1 with Collette. But overall, Utah wins this one, so they move into third place in the Pac-12 standings. So you got Arizona at 2-0, Oregon 2-0, Utah and Washington State at 1-0. So surprisingly, USC and UCLA, two pretty darn good overall teams this year, sitting at 14-1, lose their to Oregon. Same team beat them.
Yeah,
beat them both. So number two, UCLA goes down, and then USC, I believe, who is ranked as well, went down. I can't remember what they're ranked, though. Let's see. Yeah, USC dropped to 25, or they were 22 when Oregon beat them. They dropped to 25. So, but yeah, so the Colorado game, Utah seems to have Tad Boyle's number the last couple of years. The last year games were pretty close, coming down to the wire on a last second shot. And this year, Utah blows them out of the water. So good, solid win. Good way to open up the Pac-12 regular season. To make the NCAA tournament, it's going to be tough. Utah's got a lot of competition in the Pac-12. Probably about 4 to 5 teams will go from the Pac-12. I'm hoping Utah is one of those. My yeah. guess is we probably have to have about 12 wins in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
So Utah needs to win its home games this year and able to do that and then pick up a couple of those road ones.
Yeah, they definitely – I'd love to see the Utes make the tournament. It's always fun when the Utes make the tournament and you get to participate in March Madness. So brings back some good memories of days of old when they used to always make it. And but they definitely, you know, I could see 12 wins getting them in there. They need to protect their home, like you said. And then, you know, I think they need to get a couple upsets here and, you know, maybe take out Arizona or UCLA or whatnot. So,
yeah, absolutely. Luckily, we get both USC and UCLA at home this year. We don't play them on the road. We get them at home. That is next week's slate of games. So that'll be really interesting to see. But if we can pick up some of these road wins, I mean, you've got Arizona State, Washington State, Washington, you know, Cal, Stanford. Those ones will be tough. Oregon State. Maybe that grab that one. Colorado on the road in February. So there's definitely potential there. Just depends on if this Utah team can keep it together in these games. You know, win yeah. those win those home ones and then pick up a couple of those road games.
Yeah, and I think the key is they just need to continue to improve and continue to, you know, develop as a team. And I think one, you know, major key to their them being, you know, successful this season is just getting everyone involved on the offensive end and having, you know, 4 or 5 guys in double figures each night, and they could definitely win some games doing that.
Absolutely. Well, that's all we have for our recap of the previous Utah slate of basketball games the last week and a half. Moving right along, we will get into our Ute Cues segment coming right up.
Now time for Ute Cues, where we take your questions from Twitter and email and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
Alrighty, so getting into our Ute Cues. For those of you that do not know what our Ute Cues segment is, this is where we will post a question from our Twitter account at Ute Talk Podcast. So give us a follow, or you can also email us at utetalk@gmail.com. And we will post a question. We want your responses. We want to dialogue back and forth with you and discuss Utah's athletics. You know, current issues, whether it be, you know, coaching changes, upcoming schedules, recruits, etc. We want to hear it from you. So we've got a couple posted questions. We post them weekly, and we want your responses. So make sure you guys give us a follow at Ute Talk Podcast or email us utetalk@gmail.com. Ask your questions. We'll discuss it with you here on the show. So our first question. So thoughts, feelings, emotions on the hire of Troy Taylor. What does this mean for the offense? You know, we kind of discussed this quite a bit in the opening, kind of to summarize it, a lot of potential here. Troy wants to do more of a 60-40 favored in the pass as opposed to the run. And he's going to adapt his system to his talent. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of potential for, you know, current players, incoming players, to get involved in this playbook and get time on the field. I really think he's a good developer of students, of athletes, and more importantly, of quarterbacks. He is a he coached Jake Browning from fifth grade all the way up through high school, and Jake Browning, you know, broke several school records, and you know, he's gone on to be an offensive coordinator for Eastern Washington University, and they passed for over 400 yards a game this year. And so very exciting stuff with him. It's sad to see some of these other coaches go or move on from the program. But, you know, it's nice to get some new blood, a new name, get some new coaches in the program.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see him, what he can do offensively, and especially what he can do with the quarterbacks, because, you know, the offense goes as the quarterback goes. And if your quarterback's struggling or not progressing as the season goes on, your offense is going to struggle and continue to struggle. So I'm excited to see what he can do with, you know, Troy Williams and Tyler Huntley and, you know, these other recruits the Utes have coming in. I'm excited.
Absolutely. So I found some of the statistics real quick. So Eastern Washington averaged 42 points a game. They rushed on first down 112 times. They passed on first down 238 times. So definitely a pass-heavy offense. Rushing yardage, gained about 2,153 yards of rushing. Passing yardage, 5,614. Wouldn't that be nice? wow. So total offense for the year, 7,414. Average play yardage is 7 yards per play. Average yardage per game, 529. So, you know, the run game is still getting involved. So running backs will still have their opportunity to, you know, power run it up the gut, and then get involved in, you know, short yardage passing attack there. But overall, I mean, you look at those numbers and it gets you excited as a fan to finally have, you know, all these prolific athletes that we've picked up over the last couple of years to really show what they can do.
Yeah, and I'm just excited to see some different play calls. The Utes have grown so stagnant over the years that, you know, even fans can point out, you know, what they're going to do on the next play. So excited to see some different formations, some different play calls, some different, you know, guys getting the ball in open space, and, you know, different utilization of players. So it's going to be good. I think it's a great hire.
Absolutely. So moving on, our next UQ question. Who would you like to see hired to replace Dennis Erickson? At Colo Ute, Chip Kelly. At Ute Gorilla, someone who can recruit Florida. And at Utes by Five, I'm pretty sure they used Erickson and A-Rod's money to lure Taylor, so there will be another minor hire. So what are your thoughts? I mean, again, we kind of talked about that a teeny bit. But go ahead and dive into it a little bit more, Patrick, for us, if you would.
Yeah, they need to, you know, I don't know how much money they have left or what they can throw at. You know, they definitely need to bring on a running backs coach now that Erickson's gone. But they need to make sure that guy's a solid recruiter, because that's what they're going to miss most with Erickson retiring, is, you know, his ability to, you know, bring in that talent from Florida or from, you know, from anywhere. He was a solid recruiter. Guys, you know, respected his history in football and knew what he was all about, and just a great coach and a great developer of talent. So they could bring in someone who's a good recruiter and who can, you know, develop the running backs to continue the great legacy of running backs at the U, then, you know, that's what they need to be looking at. I'm not sure who that is, but, you know, I'm sure that the Utes will find him as soon as possible.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, you mentioned the money. Ganther might, you know, I mean, he's coming from Weber State, maybe. Yeah. Ganther might be a potential inexpensive hire.
Yeah.
You know, to get some of these guys involved. Or I don't know what other grad assistants we've got up there right now. Haven't truly paid attention to them, but, you know, maybe one of those guys step in. Who knows? But it will definitely be interesting to see kind of who comes in. I know we've got, you know, some potential running back recruits still on the bubble. Is it more important to them to know who their specific position coach will be, or more important to know who their offensive coordinator would be if it's a different person like it is in our situation?
Yeah. I think probably it's more important them to know who the offensive coordinator is, just because then they're going to know what type of offense they're going to be playing in, if they're going to if they're going to be getting the ball, you know, 20, 30 times a game or not. So I think that's much more important to them, because, you know, that's ultimately, you know, if you have talent, you're going to get on the field. It doesn't matter who your coach is. They're there to, you know, help you along the way. But if you're talented enough to get on the field, you know, it's going to matter who your offensive coordinator is and what kind of offense he's running. And, you know, I think a lot of these running backs out there who are looking at the U right now, I mean, a lot of the receivers who are looking at the U are excited, because this is a, you know, a air raid offense basically. But you got to be excited as a running back as well, because the Utes aren't going to stray away from, you know, what makes them successful in the run game. And if they can add a passing attack with, you know, defenses have to respect, which they haven't over the past, you know, little while. That's just going to open up the run game even more for these running backs. And
yeah, makes it a little easier on the offensive line to create those holes. So, well, it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens there. So we look forward to the upcoming developments of that. And our third and final question: does the success of this season ride on the shoulders of Kuzma, and Kuzma being Kyle Kuzma from the Running Utes? For me personally, yes, I think it does. Absolutely. Until Barefield and Collette and some of these other junior college guys kind of take that leadership role and recognize, like, oh, hey, the team's not doing well, I need to step up my game, this season solely rides on Kuzma's shoulders. You know, as long as he stays healthy, you know, we're gonna do well. We'll see here in the coming games how we play against, you know, Arizona, USC, UCLA coming up in the coming weeks to give us a better perspective on how the season could go.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you saw it in the tournament there.
Yeah.
When he went out, the team just kind of
deflated,
floundered without him. So I think right now it definitely rides on his shoulders, and I think it's going to continue to, just because he's the best player on that team. And if he can step his game up and start being more consistent and start, you know, producing more against these higher level opponents, then I think the team's going to feed off that and just continue to improve and get better.
Absolutely. Well, that is all we've got for our UQ segment. So again, send us your questions and tweet at us and talk with us at Ute Talk Podcast and respond to our questions. We love to hear your feedback and what you guys are thinking on Utah athletic topics. So thank you again, and we'll move right along here into our preview of the upcoming Running Ute games. And you've got number 17 Arizona, and at Arizona State Sun Devils. So first would be Arizona Wildcats, number 17. We play them in Tucson, January 5th, Fox Sports 1 at 8 p.m. And so that is a Thursday night. So this coming Thursday, 8 p.m., Fox Sports 1, you will see Utah take on Arizona Wildcats. Arizona currently sits at 13-2 overall in the Pac-12. They are 2-0. excuse me. So looking at Arizona, we were in the running. I believe it was between us and Arizona for 7-foot freshman Lauri Markkanen, who is out of Finland. Yep. And it was kind of shocking that we didn't get him because of Hanno Matala.
Yeah.
You know, was his like academy coach. So it was kind of shocking that we didn't get him. I think it kind of hurt some Utah fans' feelings a little bit towards Hanno. But, you know, these college kids or these soon-to-be college kids, you know, they see the brand name that is Arizona and, you know, the big names that have gone through there, and they want to be a part of it. Utah is getting that name back, but it's still a work in progress after a couple previous coaches kind of tore it down.
Yeah.
So, but as we kind of dissect Arizona here, so Utah averages about 7 points more a game. We allow 4 points more a game. We shoot 50% compared to Arizona's 47. We rebound at about 2 rebounds better a game. Assist about 2 better. Blocks are about even, and steals are even. Arizona's lone or 2 losses are against Butler, 69-65, who Utah also played. Utah lost that one. 68-59, so very close competition there for both teams. And then they also lost against Gonzaga. And that one, they lost 69-62. Whereas Utah's other loss was against Xavier there, 77-69. So again, two very equivalent kind of losses for both the Utes and Arizona. Arizona hasn't played too much. They have, let's see, Michigan State, who they beat by 2 to open the season. But other than that, they really haven't played anybody. Kind of like the Utes. So this game will be interesting. Utah does lead Arizona in all of those statistical categories. So if you just look at that alone, Utah would win the game. But what kind of what are your thoughts on this matchup here on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their stats side by side, they're you know, pretty evenly matched as teams go. You know, obviously, you know, Arizona, you know, maybe has a little bit more talent than the Utes, but I think, you know, this is a game if the Utes can really come together and get some good production out of, you know, maybe Devin Daniels or JoJo Zamora or even Bearfield off the bench, if he comes off the bench. I think this is a game that they could definitely win. It's a game they definitely need to win, but it's definitely a game they could win. I mean, Arizona's, you know, if you look at their statistics, they're not much, you know, not much better than the Utes in any category. I mean, the Utes are beating them in a lot of categories, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely, you know, a game, if the Utes come to play and they can put it together and, you know, like I said, get a bunch of guys in double digits, this is a game that they could win and, you know, get that upset. I think this is going to be their real first. I mean, obviously, I think it's going to be their a true test in, you know, how they're going to do in the Pac-12, you know, coming up against Arizona. I think this is going to show kind of, you know, where the Utes are in the Pac-12 play.
Yeah, definitely will. It'll allow us to get a good look at kind of how we stack up for Pac-12 play. And Arizona is a very good team. Sean Miller has his teams very well prepared for the Utah teams the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm excited for the matchup. It'll be a tough one down there in Arizona, in Tucson. But, you know, if Utah stays competitive, you know, like we were against Xavier and Butler, you know, then we give ourselves a chance. And at that point, it'll just come out to sure drive and what team wants it more, you know. Yeah, Arizona might have the talent edge, but, you know, some of those guys kind of have that big head, you know, like, hey, we're more talented than you. We're going to win no matter what, where Utah, you know, I feel like gets kind of those overlooked players that have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, so it's definitely, I mean, I think it's going to be a good test for the Utes, and it's going to kind of be their proving ground to, you know, where they sit in the Pac-12, because Arizona's, you know, they always put together a good team. And, you know, even back to the Lute Olson days, I used to always like watching those teams
absolutely
play. So it's going to be exciting and see kind of how the Utes, you know, perform after that, you know, playing so well against Colorado. Hopefully they continue, keep it up, and, you know, not have, you know, some kind of letdown or whatnot.
Absolutely. So after Thursday night matchup against Arizona, Utah travels to Tempe for a 3 p.m. tip-off on the Pac-12 networks, January 7th. Against Arizona State, the Sun Devils. And Utah's played pretty well against the Sun Devils in years past. Arizona is currently sitting, or Arizona State is currently sitting at 1-1 in conference, 8-7 overall. So they're not having a very good year. They're kind of like a mixed bag. They've got they put up a lot of points. 82, which is 1 point higher than Utah, but their defense is pretty atrocious. They allow about 82 points a game, where Utah averages around 64 points a game, points allowed. Field goal percentage, Utah shoots 6% better, rebounds about 5 better, assists 1, blocks 1, and steals are the same at 6. So this one, Utah should win this game. It is on the road. Utah's had very little experience this year with road games. So I think that will kind of hurt them a little bit as we continue along the path of road games. But this should be one that Utah wins. You know, if Utah wins at Arizona, this could be, you know, a hangover game, I guess you call it.
Yeah.
You know, and Utah might struggle a little bit. You know, Utah is a very young and inexperienced team, you know, with Kuzma being the most experienced player, really, for the Utes. And that's why it kind of all rides on his shoulders on how Utah goes this year.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, the basketball team's keeping up with the football team, you know. High scoring offense, horrible defense. So looks like Arizona State has it together that way. But, you know, definitely, you know, Utes haven't had a lot of road games, like you said. So any road game that they do have, I think, is going to be a test for them until, you know, they have a little bit more road games. So, you know, hopefully if they can make it past Arizona and not have a letdown, they definitely have a chance against Arizona State. Even if they lose to Arizona, I fully expect them to bounce back and beat Arizona State. So, it's, you know, hopefully they'll be able to do that and continue to get better as the season goes on.
Absolutely. It's not a whole lot. You know, Arizona, like I said, 8-7 on the year. Their losses are against some pretty bad teams. One of them being University of Kentucky, which is the number one ranked team now, but I don't think they really had much of a chance in that game. So Utah should win this game. It shouldn't be too much of an issue. Again, it kind of depends on what happens with that Arizona game. Either way, it could be a trap game.
Yeah.
So moving right along here. That is what we've got for our preview for the Running Utes. And our final game of the year for Utah football versus Indiana in the Foster Farms Bowl, held in Levi's Stadium, which is in Santa Clara. And I attended the game with a bunch of friends, and it was a lot of fun, very exciting. Very exciting to be at, low attendance overall. I think Utah sold about 3,500 tickets, and Indiana didn't have too many more or too many themselves. So
It looked pretty empty.
Quite the empty stadium, but either way, it was a lot of fun. Was able to go to the game and ended up spending New Year's there in San Francisco and saw the fireworks from the bay, and overall it was a good trip. But let's talk about the game. Enough about me. So Utah comes into the game as a 6.5-point favorite. excuse me. And Utah ends up winning 26-24 versus the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana came into the game at 6-6, now 6-7. Indiana is part of the Big Ten, which features top teams as Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin. And Utah, had a terrible beginning of the game. On the kickoff return, the opening kickoff, Utah fumbled it.
Yep.
Indiana went in and scored on the first play, on their first play, on a touchdown pass. Utah came down, scored a field goal. So it was 7-3 Indiana. Kind of what are your thoughts on the beginning of the game, and what was going through your head watching that first quarter?
Yeah, I mean, that first, hit on Kyle Foulkes,
he got rocked.
I don't think anyone could have hung on to that ball. He got leveled pretty good. But, first quarter, Utes kind of started slow. I didn't expect this game to be a blowout, just because that's just the way the Utes have played this season. They play down to their competition, and I just, expected them to, make it a Utah game against Indiana, where, they kind of, just kind of struggle through and hopefully get the victory. But first quarter, or even the first half, the Utes,
at one point it was 17-7.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole game was just kind of a struggle for them offensively. I think defensively, the Utes played fairly decent for the most part. I was really impressed with Lua Fadasaga. I thought he really came into his own there at linebacker throughout the game.
Yeah, he had some really good plays, really good reads.
And, of course, Joe Williams was the whole offense.
Yeah. Story of the year.
Yeah, so, not much else to it. Andy Phillips played well for his last game, hitting some key field goals, and, of course, the game winner. But, Joe Williams played great and earned himself an invite to the combine. But overall, tough game for the Utes. I didn't expect it to be a blowout, though, just because that's kind of what the Utes do.
Definitely. So, yeah, so first half ended tied 17-17. It was 17-7 at one point, and I turned and it said that, it'd be nice if Utah could score going into the half, and Indiana proceeded to score 10 points and tie the game up going into half. So not what I wanted. Halftime, came and went. Utah came out of in the second half and kind of blundered. I mean, they were moving the ball but could not get a touchdown. Three field goals in the second half. That was Utah's offense. Yep. 6 points in the third quarter, 3 points in the fourth, and that the three in the fourth were the game winner by Andy Phillips. And so kind of frustrating that the offense just struggled so much. Troy Williams, 11 of 23, 178 yards, one interception. Joe Williams, who was the MVP or offensive MVP, 222 yards, one touchdown, just was all over the place and really tearing up Indiana's defense, no problem. Really, really played a great game. And then, like you said, he got an invite to the NFL Combine, so we'll see where he stacks up, if he wants to go and pursue his career as a potential NFL athlete.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how they treat him, since, you know, he he did leave the Utes. But, I mean, he's so talented, and he has world-class speed, so it's going to be interesting to see kind of where he falls and where he's at in the eyes of, you know, the NFL scouts and you know, the NFL teams. But, you know, the bowl game just was kind of a, you know, one of those games where you hope the Utes squeak out a victory, because it wasn't really an exciting game outside of Joe Williams. I like seeing Tyler Huntley in there a little bit. He was fun to watch. You know, you could tell he was out there having fun and enjoying every minute of it. So, but I mean, other than that, I mean, just wasn't that impressive of a game for the Utes. I did expect a lot more out of them, especially against Indiana. But what do you do?
I agree. Well, it was a fun game. It was more fun because I was with friends. and then obviously the Utes win was, like you said, a kind of an ugly game, but a lot of promise. I think Luafata Saga ended with 12 total tackles, two for a loss. Tautioli ended with 10, one for a loss. Pita T had two sacks, and so a lot of good there. Chase Hansen had a few huge hits. One of them took him out of the game.
I believe he
got knocked out a little bit. Maybe concussion. They didn't really say a whole lot.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
So that's kind of what I had on my angle. You know, Huntley came in. Final drive of the game was beyond frustrating. And Joe will, you know, we were down 24-23, and like you said, Utah plays for the field goal, you know, the field goal offense. Joe Williams had, I believe, like a 30-something yard gain.
Yeah.
And gets out of bounds. Excuse me. And we go to, I believe it was like a QB draw. Basically, it was all just draws there at the end. Let me pull it up here real quick. Yeah, so you got 3rd and 7, Joe Williams, 32-yard gain. Then you got Troy McCormick for a 1-yard loss, Huntley for a 1-yard gain, and then Huntley again for a 1-yard gain. So after Joe Williams and Troy moved the ball down the field, you take both of them out and run three, in my opinion, terrible plays.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, Joe Williams just had a big 32-yard run. Let's give him a rest here for a moment. But essentially, you know, you run three terrible plays. Indiana uses this timeout. Why didn't you just use a timeout, give Joe and Troy that extra timeout rest, and then put them in to get the touchdown and not make it relied on your kicker? you know, at least go for the touchdown instead of just sitting back and playing for the field goal.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was just frustrating to watch, but that's just kind of how the Utes were. They, you know, but they just go for, you know, the field goal and rely on the kicker, and that's, you can't do that in the Pac-12 just because, you know, they left, what, like a minute 30 on the clock?
Yeah, it was, I mean, like if, minute 21, I
if
think.
If you're playing against, you know, USC or, you know, Oregon or any of these Pac-12 teams, those guys can move the ball in 130 and score a touchdown. So that's just kind of the frustrations with the offense. I mean, I know they struggle in the red zone and they continue to struggle into the bowl game in the red zone, but you gotta go for the touchdowns in those situations because, you know, who knows? I mean, Indiana could have threw, you know, a long pass and, you know, the Utes corners could have not looked back for the ball again and gotten burned.
Yeah.
And they could have kicked a field goal and won the game. So it's just things like that are just kind of frustrating as a fan. But, you know, hopefully with this new hire that they brought in, they'll be able to correct those mistakes and put some points on the board in the form of touchdowns.
Absolutely. So Utes ended up winning in Santa Clara, Levi Stadium, against Indiana, 26-24. Utah ends the year 9-4. Indiana ends at 6-7. So Utah, who was ranked 19 overall, will probably move up a couple spots, you know, with all these losses and whatnot. So maybe see them around the 15 range probably is my guess to end the year. But we'll look forward to spring ball and fall camp, and we'll see what they have in store for us there. You know, keep in mind we've got a bunch of new guys coming in early to kind of get a head start on things. National letter of intent day is coming up here soon, so we'll find out who actually commits and who follows through. And so a lot of exciting stuff here in the coming weeks that Ute fans should be kind of tuned in for.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a good football season, kind of heartbreaking, but, you know, with what was on the line there and the Utes just kind of blew it. But overall, a good season, and excited to, you know, see in the upcoming weeks who the Utes can get recruit-wise and then, you know, build on that into spring ball and, you know, see what this team's all about. So it's gonna be some good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, that is all we have for our Ute Talk episode today, a New Year's edition here. So thank you for joining us. Thank you from our audio engineer Marty, Patrick, and I'm Andy. We will see you next time, and as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.